Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first-timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth. As part of the Secret Recordings Network, we have new episodes every other week, fortnightly. So make sure you subscribe, because there may be a bonus episode this weekend. It's D23 across the weekend over in California. So expect some big news and some big announcements about Disney and the Disney parks and Disney World. And if there is big enough announcements, I will do a brand new quick news podcast on Sunday morning. So hit subscribe button. As soon as I've done it, it'll land it in your, wherever you get your podcast from. On this episode, we're going to chat with Matt very soon, who's literally just come back from Disney World. I'm talking like he's been back hours from Disney World, and he's used the new Lightning Lane system. So we'll chat to him about that. We'll chat to him about the dining plan and things like that. And we've got your questions. If you've got any questions about planning when it comes to Disney, you can always send me a message on any of the socials. At Pod Magical is where we are. Facebook, X, Instagram. Give us a like, give us a follow. Greg wants to know, is it worth going to the Kennedy Space Center over at Cape Canaveral? Well, I've not been for quite a few years. I have been a couple of times. It is epic. It is a full day out. It is quite a way to go. It's a good 90-minute drive from Disney World. But yeah, if you're into that kind of thing, definitely, definitely worth a visit. I'm not quite sure how you would get there. You'd probably have to either hire a car or get an Uber. It is near Port Canaveral. Obviously, Cape Canaveral is near Port Canaveral. So if you've ever been on Disney Cruise or any cruises from over there, you'll have probably seen it, because the building that they build the ships and store them in is epic, like beyond belief. In fact, if you're going around it, there's little buses that take you around. It's the land that it is on is so big. I do believe, if you're on a Disney cruise, there are excursions on the day you get off a Disney cruise. So you could do a Disney cruise, and rather than going straight back to Disney, you can do an escorted tour that will take you from the cruise ship to Kennedy Space Center. Disney will keep your bags, and then I think they'll drop you back at your Disney World hotel. As long as you're doing Disney cruise to Disney World, I think that's available if you've got time. So definitely look into that. But yeah, it's an epic day out, Kennedy Space Center. We've got a few guests on here who've been. Have a look at some vlogs. Judge for yourself. Of course, if you've got any questions, at Pod Magical is where we are. Let's catch up with Matt then, see how jet lagged he is. He's just back from his sixth trip to Walt Disney World. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm really good, thank you. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, thanks. And when I say just back, how many days, hours, how long has it been?
We are in hours now. I think I got back, it was about 24 hours back to the front door. So I'm pretty tired still, but
wow.
But yeah, to be honest, I want to go straight back.
What, to bed or to Disney World?
Both would be good.
Yeah, bed first, and then you'd be ready to back on it for Disney World. How was your trip? Was it a good one, a successful one, highs and lows?
Yeah, really, really successful trip. So as I say, this was my sixth trip, but it was the first with my kids. So so that was really nice, sort of seeing Disney in a completely different way that we've done before. Very, very busy because it's been 9 years since our last trip, as we sort of postponed in between having kids and thinking, oh, we wait till they're old enough, and then COVID, and then all of that. So this was our first trip with our children. It's been 9 years since. And yeah, I think we managed to cram everything in, but it was very, very busy.
Wow. So how old are the kids?
So I've got a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. So 7-year-old son Logan and 5-year-old Evelyn.
I mean, what an ideal age to take them. And I guess going with them for the first time for you, I bet it was like going for your first time, wasn't it? Taking them?
Yeah, it was really sort of doing things as a kid, so like looking at what would really be interesting for the children. Because I say the last time we went was 2015, and it was my wife and I and my parents, and it was all looking for like the thrill rides, the big stuff, you know, not really worrying too much about the parades and things like that, or meeting the characters. And this time it was the complete opposite, sort of no real thrill rides, and just sort of trying to get in line for every character we could see and get their autographs.
So that was your main thing, was it? Getting the characters, getting the pictures.
Yeah, characters, kiddie rides, things like that, and just sort of hoping that the kids had a really great experience and settling them into it a bit.
And I'm guessing after 9 years, there were so many new things for you, like Tron and Guardians.
Yeah, there was so much new with it. And obviously, we're big Disney fans, so we kind of kept abreast of what's been going on. But when we're watching the YouTube videos and stuff like that, whenever something new's come up, like Rise of the Resistance or Disney Springs even, because that was still downtown Disney when we were there last time. It's been like, we're not watching this bit. We don't want to know what's changed. We want to see the new bits for the first time. So that was really awesome. And of the new bits, obviously, we saw Disney Springs. We didn't get to see the drone show, annoyingly, because every time we went there, it got taken off due to weather, which was a bit irritating, but never mind. Just try again next time. With Tiana's, we did manage to get a multi-pass lightning lane for that. So that was really awesome. So we managed to do that. But as for Tron and Guardians, and they're going to have to be next time when the kids are a bit older, and maybe not with the virtual queues because they are difficult to get in the morning.
Yeah. But like you say, it's an excuse to go back, isn't it?
Yeah, there's always a good reason to go back to Disney World.
And it won't be 9 years, I'm guessing, next time.
I really, really hope not. So we are hoping to go back. Sort of, I think the maximum I want to be away at any point is 3 years. That was sort of the way it was before. So hopefully we can go back to that now, and just every 2 to 3 years, make sure we go. And we're looking at the DVC as well. So,
Serious.
So my wife and I went there on our honeymoon in 2012, and we did one of the DVC talks, and we thought, oh, this is wonderful, but I don't know how we're going to afford this. You know, we were fresh out of university. There was no real chance of it. But we did the DVC talk again this time, and it makes a lot of sense. So we will be certainly exploring every avenue to get that all sorted, and hopefully stay at our dream resorts in the future, because there's a load of the deluxe that we've never managed to stay in that we'd love to give a go.
Oh, we'll talk resorts and food and everything very soon. But actually, just come to think of it, you'll be the first guest on this podcast that has been since the whole Genie Plus Lightning Lane change. So you mentioned for Tiana's, you used the Lightning Lanes. Was that did you purchase that one?
We did the multi-pass Lightning Lane. So it was the full sort of one where you can pick several during the day. We did purchase it, yeah. So I thought I'd have a bit of an experiment with it. So we only bought the multi-pass once.
Yeah.
And of course, that came out whilst we were there. So I think I bought it a couple of days in for the next week on, because of course they were selling out so quickly if you weren't up at 7 o'clock to get them. And it was actually a really good system.
So how many days in advance did you buy it? Because obviously there's still problems over here that you can't buy it before you go. So you were over there and then you bought it.
No, I bought mine 7 days in advance of that one, because I missed the call on day one. I was just not really that fussed about it, worrying about it, because the way I've always seen sort of the Lightning Lane, Genie Plus and things is I think they're wonderful if you are going to be in Disney for a day or two, or maybe staying for, you know, 5 days a week. But if you're there for 2 weeks and just doing Disney, you can probably do the queues anyway.
So when you got it 7 days in advance, was there quite a lot of availability, like for Tiana and stuff like that?
So our Tiana's was at 10 past 12, so it really wasn't that bad. And our original ones were Haunted Mansion and Pirates, I think, with it as well. So they were our three to begin with. And we got a pretty good selection.
And then how many more did you get throughout the day?
Between the the rides on our multipass and then queuing up for the odd ones in between. I think we did about 13 attractions or shows or character meets, and that includes a park hop as well over to Hollywood Studios. So it was pretty good day.
So what did you, what else did you get then? So after you've used your first one, you can then go and get your next one for any park, can't you? So what was your plan?
Plan was, because we had quite a big day planned, was to spend the morning in Magic Kingdom and try and get a lot of the attractions that we hadn't done so far there. So we did our first three, as I said then we went to Jungle Cruise, where we actually queued for that one whilst we waited for our next ones to come up. So we did Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, the Princess Meets, but then we popped over to Hollywood Studios for the afternoon, and then we did like Toy Story Mania and quite a number of shows and things there, and then we did our evening meal at Sci-Fi before heading home. We were going to go over to Epcot at the end of that day, but I think everyone was just so tired.
Let's go way back then, not from this trip. Let's go back to your first ever trip, when you went for the first time without the kids. What do you remember from that trip?
First ever trip to Disney World was back in 1999. It was just incredible. We did, I remember it really, really well, because we did the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, and it was on Halloween night. And it was the most incredible thing I'd ever done as a kid up to that point. You know, dressing up in the costumes, going around with my mum and dad, my brothers and my nan and granddad. And just the sheer amount of sweets being thrown at you by the cast members. It was incredible. I'd never seen such large amounts of sweets being filled into these big pumpkin candy pail things that they were giving you. And there was no ride queues. You were just getting on everything. And there were shows everywhere. Everyone was in. Oh, it was just incredible. And I just remember that trip so well, specifically for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween.
Yeah.
And that sort of changed the meaning of like sort of Halloween to me sort of now. So I very much associate it as like a Disney holiday for the rest of my life. So it's always watching, you know, all the Disney specials that were on TV that night, like Hocus Pocus and those 90s Disney Channel movies like Halloween Town and stuff like that. Which I'm not sure of the production values today, but they are still brilliant to watch if you watched them when you were young.
Oh, I still like watching stuff like that. It's just a little bit. Yeah. What was I watching the other day?
The nostalgia.
Boy Meets World, the episode filmed in Epcot. If you can find that one, it's on Disney Plus. That was really good. Maybe your next trip, maybe you could, maybe a Halloween trip for the next one? Because obviously the Halloween bars have started now. August is Halloween time, so maybe next time you could do... Maybe end of August?
Yeah, no, I think I'd really like to do that one. We were saying to the kids that we'd like to take them back for Halloween party. When my wife and I went on our honeymoon, it was over Halloween period. We didn't actually go to the Halloween party because we weren't organized enough to get the tickets in time that time. But just the, you know, all the decorations up everywhere, and they had just put them out in Magic Kingdom for Monday, our last day. So we did manage to get some pictures of the kids with next to the pumpkins this time around. So that was pretty nice. But we have to take them to the Halloween party properly when we return.
With Matt in just a moment to find out some of his favourite Walt Disney World things. A quick news update. There's not a lot to tell you about because D23 is happening this weekend. The parks panel will be 7 p.m. on Saturday night. That's LA time, which is about 3 o'clock in the morning our time. It's going to be streamed on Fortnite. If you want to watch it, any big news, as I say, I will update your podcast, a quick news podcast, so make sure you're subscribed and you will get that. Any other news that's coming around from Walt Disney World at the minute? Well, there's extended evening hours coming to Disney's Animal Kingdom. If you're staying at a deluxe hotel, obviously with the Halloween party starting, the Magic Kingdom extended hours are out. So Animal Kingdom is where you can go if you've got a couple of extended evening hours to look forward to. It is the first Halloween party tonight over at Magic Kingdom for the next few weeks, right up to Halloween. And Mickey and Minnie have got some new costumes. There's also a lot of new food to eat. There's been quite a bit of food news, actually. It's Princesses Week at the end of August, so there's some food items for that. And also some more booths have been released for the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. Apart from that, there's not a lot of big news to tell you about right now, but hopefully over the next coming days, hopefully we'll fill you in. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast and make sure you're following us on the socials at Pod Magical. Matt is with us on the podcast. Let's talk about some of your favourite things then. Matt, if you had to choose a favourite attraction, what would it be?
If it has to be my favourite attraction ever, we'll go with Thunder Mountain. And it's a bit of a strange one for me, a bit of a love-hate relationship with it, as I first went on the Disneyland Paris version when I was 4 years old.
Right.
And I remember my parents telling me, it's just a train ride. It's absolutely fine. Don't worry about it. And little four-year-old me was thinking, you know, Thomas the Tank Engine sort of things. It's going to be lovely. And I remember getting off that ride, just bawling my eyes out and sort of saying, why would you do that to me? Like, what was this mean trip? But then obviously a little bit older over in Florida, going on it again when I was sort of nine, absolutely loved it. And I remember going on there with my nan quite a few times when she joined us in Florida, and it was her favorite ride, and she's got such lovely memories of my nan getting off in her 70s just with her hair sort of all over the place, just laughing her head off. And I just love the ride from the memories of that one.
It's obviously not affected you too much then that first time, if you love it as a favorite attraction.
Yeah, I did have a bit of a fear of roller coasters for quite a while, but I think I got over it eventually.
Fine. And when it comes to that attraction, is the Paris one better than the Florida one?
It's difficult to say because I've not ridden the Paris one since I was about 11, so I've not been there for such a long time. So it'd be difficult to say, although I am going to go back to Paris this coming April, March, actually, and... I've been watching the series on Disney Plus behind the attraction, and I've got to admit it does look better.
I think it is. Goes under the water and everything like that. What about places to eat? Particularly, have you got a favourite?
Yeah, so this is a bit of an odd one. So I remember I listened to podcasts and the questions are you a Disney foodie? And I'd like to say yes, but I'm really quite basic in what I eat, to be honest. My family call me a salad dodger and all this sort of thing. So my almost guilty pleasure place to eat, it's Sci-Fi Diner, which I know isn't everyone's favourite. As it's not so much about the food for me there. It's just the atmosphere in there and the terrible 1950s movies you're watching or the trailers for them, like the ones just warning teenagers about their behaviour, and they're just hilarious. So I just absolutely love going to the Sci-Fi Diner. And we've been every single time we've been to Florida. We did try to avoid it once, actually. We were going to go. We know we're not going to go this time. We're going to go to Brown Derby instead. And on a couple of days before we were due to go and have dinner there, my dad's got a bit too hot from the sun, bit of a heat stroke sort of thing going on. So we had to go find somewhere cool to sit down for a while. And that was the only place with a reservation time. So we ended up going there that time as well. So it's just become a thing now.
It was meant to be.
We can't go to Florida. Yeah, we can't go to Florida without a trip to Sci-Fi Diner.
Now, you mentioned you're interested in DVC and DVDs. So what resorts were it that you were looking at? What are your particular favourite resorts that are making you think, maybe I need to buy into this?
So I've always loved Wilderness Lodge. I just love the aesthetic there. It just looks so incredible, sort of going into that grand lobby. It's just awe inspiring there with the totem poles and the fireplace that doesn't actually kick out any heat. It's I just absolutely love to stay there, but it's a bit beyond my sort of general budget. But staying there, and then we had a look at the Rivieras. That's the one they're selling right now.
Yeah,
they're really, really, really pushing the Riviera. They're very, very keen to get you to buy there. And so we popped over there and had a look at the rooms, and they are just beautiful, absolutely beautiful rooms. So we'd be looking at getting into the Riviera, I guess, unless we were to do the resale market. It's the suite rooms that you get there are just so wonderful, and they'd be perfect to go on our larger family breaks, as we don't tend to just go as the four of us. We do like the idea of going with our family, and I think the biggest trip I've ever done family wise was with I think 13 people.
Whoa.
So it was quite a big lot.
That must get really confusing when people want to do one thing and somebody else wants to do something else.
I don't know how they pulled it off. That was when I was a teenager, so I was very much backseat driver on that one, just sort of sitting there saying, I want to do this, I want to do that, and mum makes it happen sort of thing. So I don't envy her that one.
Is there anything that you miss? So 1999 was the first time you went. Since you went back this time going, I wish I hadn't have got rid of that.
There are so many things that I'd love to see again, and things that change. And when we went in 1999, you had the big 2000 shimmering sign over the Epcot Spaceship Earth.
Yeah.
And it was just iconic for me. And then obviously I went back again in 2002 and it changed to just say Epcot. And now it's pulled like me. And it's so different seeing it without anything on it. And I do miss that sign. I know it wasn't for everybody. I guess it's just the way you experience it first. And even like tiny things, like when we went down there, so the resort we tend to stay at is Port Orleans Riverside, and we always get the riverboat down to Disney Springs. As you docked, it used to play Party in the USA. And it was just, I don't know, something about that song as you arrived there was amazing. Didn't do that this time. So
it didn't it not?
Just have to put your headphones in for that one. No, I don't know what it was playing this time, actually. So that was a bit of a shame. But that and the big one that I miss most is Spectro Magic. I'd really love to see that back.
Oh, any nighttime parade would be welcome.
Yeah, that parade when you were a kid watching it with that sort of 8-bit music from your video games playing was just incredible.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens this weekend. Maybe there's going to be a big announcement at D23. Maybe they'll say, there's a nighttime parade coming. We'll have to wait and see.
Fingers crossed.
Have to wait and see. Did you pick up any tips going this time that you think, oh, that's quite useful for next time?
Yeah, so we really love pin trading. So I've been pin trading for a few years now. I started about 3 trips ago. And I absolutely love it, but the cost of the pins to start is pretty big. So we've been paying attention to some of these videos on YouTube of the character warehouse over at Vineland.
Yeah.
And we went there because I really wanted to get my kids into it. And we bought way too much stuff when we were in there, to be honest. Stuff that if it wasn't marked down 50%, you probably wouldn't even look at. But amongst that, there are obviously the pins, and you can buy pins there for as little as $3. So if they're going to be your traders, head over to Vineland, get a load of $3 pins and just get them ready.
Trade
on
them
your
off.
Lanyard to trade away.
Yeah, and I suppose like eBay and Vinted and stuff like that, you can probably get some cheap ones on there and then, you say, trade them in for the good ones.
Yeah, that's it. And it doesn't matter that whichever ones you pick up at the shop, just they are your traders. So they're $3, much, much cheaper.
Where else did you go outside Disney beside the outlet? Did you venture off to anywhere else this time?
This time, no, it was very much a Disney for 2 weeks. That's all we did. So we stayed there for 2 weeks. We went to Vineland twice as I just carried on getting tempted back by the bargains I was seeing online there. It's just incredible, that shop. If you like Disney merchandise or you're hooked on it anyway, it's just too much of a pull.
Now I'm going to ask you, favourite ever Disney World memory? What will it be?
So I'm going to go with this time. It's a memory from this trip. We went to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique with our daughter, and she had a wonderful makeover. She got to be Belle, and she just looked absolutely stunning. It was absolutely just incredible seeing her so happy. And the reactions of all the cast members to her as she was walking around the shops and the rides. But on the way out of the park, we decided to visit the Main Street Confectionery, and they just went above and beyond for her. They took her around the shop to meet everyone, and they were all waving, and they gave her a candy apple and gave my son a sweet as well. And she just had the most wonderful time just being the center of attention in that shop. So a big shout out to Mike and Michelle in Main Street Confectionery there, who made that happen for her.
The cast members make the magic, treating her like a proper princess.
Yes, they certainly did. I hope she doesn't get too used to it, though.
Now, Matt, I am going to give you your ideal Walt Disney World day.
Ideal Walt Disney World day. I have written a list. So I would wake up at Fort Wilderness, and I'd probably just grab like a pretzel or something to eat on the way out, or a bagel, because I'm not really a big breakfast person. And then get the boat straight over to Magic Kingdom. And once we'd get there, I would be heading straight for my favorite rides and things. So we'd start with Pirates, make our way around to Tiana's Bayou Adventure, then Thunder Mountain, it has to be. Haunted Mansion is a non-negotiable as well. And like Peter Pan was down sadly this time as they're revamping it, but I would get onto Peter Pan for certain. And then I'd stop at the parlor by Cinderella Castle. So the ice cream snacks that you can get there, if you're on the dining plan, you can get the ice cream on your snack credit, and it's just so filling and so incredible. So we sat there and ate that. I'd have that, then meet Mickey at Main Street Theater on the way out. So because it's my ideal day and there's no money being an issue, I'd get a minivan over to Hollywood Studios. And again, focusing on the attractions, it'd be Minnie and Mickey, Toy Story Mania, then Smuggler's Run, Rise of Resistance. And it has to be dinner at Sci-Fi Diner for me.
Of course.
Then I'd get the Skyliner over to Epcot to watch Luminous Symphony of Us. Perhaps get fitting in Test Track beforehand if I managed to. I suppose being a perfect day, there's no queues. So I'd get on Test Track first, then I'd watch Luminous Symphony of Us. and then monorail back to the TTC, and then off to the Poly, because I have resort hopped during the middle of the day somehow, and they've moved all of my bags over to Polynesian so I could stay in a different resort to finish.
Well, there you go. Well, if you're DVC, so you can do that. You can keep moving. They'll move your bags for you.
So that's my ideal day.
So did you have the dining plan on your last trip then? You just mentioned the dining plan.
Yeah, so we bought the quick service dining plan, and I know, like, to be honest, you would have to have an alcoholic drink with every single meal to make it, you know, worthwhile from a financial point of view. But we just love the stress-free thing about Disney. So obviously when people say, why do you go to Disney all the time? Like, why is it your favorite place to go? For me, it's that like Hakuna Matata vibe of like, there's just no worries going there. Everything's sorted. Your ticket's paid for. You're staying in their hotels. Your transportation's laid on. Just go and have fun. So that's what we really love about Disney. So having the dining plan just makes it so much easier. We were quick service dining plan. And I think that one worked really well for our family. And there's too much food on that still. So it's just I think it's still a good value, even though you don't make your money back necessarily. The stress-freeness of using the quick service dining plan, it's just part of our holiday.
Yeah, there's two ways of doing it, isn't there? You go and I'm just going to get it so like I know that the food's paid for, or you're going to get it to try and beat the system. So did you try and beat the system at any point, or were you going, just know what, I'll just eat what I want knowing that it's paid for?
Yeah, I think there was a couple of days I was like, I'm going to have the cocktail there just to make sure I get some money's worth out of it. And of course, you've got that bit at the end of the holiday where you're going, how many snack credits have we got left and how many sweets can we fit into our suitcases without going overweight on them? So there was that element to it. But overall, it was just a very much not worrying too much about money while we were away.
How many snack credits did you have left?
I think we did pretty well. We only had had about six left.
Okay.
So we did pretty well because we were using them for sort of breakfast and ice creams in the park and stuff as we were going.
Yeah.
So we got a few bags of sweets and things. But I think on the last couple of days, because we had loads of kids' meals left. I'm not quite sure why, because I'm sure they were eating every single time that we were. But I'm pretty sure some of the cast members were just exchanging them for snack credits or something like that sort of help us out a bit, so which was lovely. But then I was like, how are these snack credits not disappearing?
So what do you do with the kids' credits that were left over, the kids' meals? Because you can't swap them for a snack credit anymore, can you?
No, not in theory, because I think that's what the occasional cast members, I think they might have been doing that for us without mentioning it at the tills. But with the remaining kids ones, they're just sitting there on the account and they're gone now. So unfortunately, I suppose you could look at it as money that you didn't spend or sort of you have spent and didn't redeem. But I'm not really too fussed about it, as it was just a great holiday and we didn't have to worry about it.
Exactly. It is what it is. You're coming back with the memories, but it doesn't matter about the snack credits or whatever. Forget about it. Matt, it's been great talking to you. I'm going to let you go and get back to bed now. You're just getting a coffee and cracking on with life.
I think I've got to do something to keep busy. And the grass has been growing quite a bit while we've been away, so I might go and sort that out because that definitely needs doing. Just do something to stay awake until an agreeable time to go to sleep.
Not at Disney World anymore. Yeah, mow that lawn.
No, planning the next one.
Lovely chatting to you. Have a magical day.
Thanks very much. Bye.
Thanks again to Matt. If you would like to be coming on the podcast, chatting all things Disney World, give me a shout at PodMagical is where we are. If you're going to be going over to the parks very soon, next couple of weeks, it should quieten down a bit. The schools in America have actually gone back now. So the last few weeks of our holidays in the UK usually are a good time to go. If you don't mind the heat, talking about mid-90s at the minute, and it's been very wet over the last couple of weeks, but crowds should be a bit on the quieter side. There is the first Halloween party tonight over at Magic Kingdom. Halloween Horror Nights over at Universal start in a couple of weeks' time. They start at the end of August, and also the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot starts at the end of August as well. But if you go in, have a really good time. Pound to dollar, you're looking at about 1.27 at the minute. And the top tip for this episode, if you're really trying to save some money, if you're going on a budget, whether you're staying on Disney, whether you're staying on iDrive, there is a cheaper way to get from the airport, from Orlando International Airport. There is now a public bus that runs. It goes from the airport and connects Universal and Disney. You need to get Are you ready for this? Write this down. The Link 311, the number 311 Link service. Just a couple of dollars. You can take your luggage on there. There's no luggage racks or anything. You have to keep it with you. Goes from the airport. Its first stop is the Sunrail station, which is the train station if you're going to go and get a cruise. Then it stops off at the Florida Mile. It stops off at Universal Boulevard. Then at International Drive at the Convention Centre. And then finishes off at Disney Springs. So it's only got about five stops. So, you know, from the airport to Disney Springs, probably taking you about an hour, but for a couple of dollars. And also as well, if you want to go from Disney to the Florida Mile, rather than get an Uber or hiring a car, for just a couple of dollars, that bus will take you there as well. The Link 311 is running now. If you want to save a couple of quid. Any tips that you have, or if you'd like to be a podcast guest, let me know. At PodMagical is where we are on socials. I'll update you over the weekend of anything that comes out of D23. And if there is anything major, we'll do another podcast on Sunday morning. So just keep an eye out for that. Best thing is, subscribe to the podcast. It doesn't cost anything. Hit that subscribe button. And then every podcast that gets released will just be there, waiting for you. And until next time, whenever that may be, please stand clear of the doors.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.